The Ryan Jesperson Show, weekday mornings at 9 on 630 CHED.
Kelsey, I meant to point out it's been, a week now since we revealed on the air that you were named as Chorus Employee of the Month. And I have to say, I noticed you've not been parking your vehicle in the Employee of the Month parking spot. What's going on?
It was only this morning when you mentioned that that's a perk that some workplaces will offer that I remembered that it existed again. I keep forgetting that I have the rights to this spot.
You have the right. But you only have the right to the spot for another 15 days.
Do I park it there and maybe Uber to work just to fully take advantage?
I don't know what I would do. I would probably get. I would call some sort of a landscaping company. I'd probably have them dump at least one truckload of sand there. I'd throw out some propane patio heaters. I'd create a little beach environment amid the cold. I would really make the most of that spot. That's your real estate for a month.
Why didn't we talk about this on November 1st?
Because I'm not Employee of the Month.
I know, but all of these suggestions would have been so helpful.
I know. Look at this perk that you're not even enjoying, but you have been recognized by the company. That must have. What did that do to you?
Well, it makes you feel a little embarrassed, but sure, if it filled my heart with joy. What would have been nice is if they'd also been like, hey, here's $1,000 to thank you along with the new title.
Yeah, fair enough. But no money.
No money.
No money for you. That's not the way it goes. And it's probably because the decision makers at Chorus and other companies pay attention to studies like the one that caught our attention. There's a guy, Dan Ariely, and he led this study that essentially showed, to boil it down, and we'll get into all the nuances with our next guest in just a second. It showed that companies that, reward employees with things like pizza or even compliments, they actually motivate their employees better than companies that provide cash by way of raises, bonuses, or otherwise. The premise is that money fades more quickly than a sense of appreciation. We thought this was pretty interesting stuff. So we reached out to Evan Thompson. He's a business coach, a communications expert. He's the president of Evan Thompson & Associates. Evan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, is this a premise that you've known about for a long time when you talk to businesses and organizations about how to foster a spirit of positivity or a positive environment? Is this what you tell them to do?
I certainly do. In a perfect world, as the Chorus employee was saying, cash and recognition are tremendous. But I really do believe the cash offer failed in this case because employees discount the value of the intention of small cash incentives because they know it doesn't really have any effect on the bottom line. There's really not much effort on the part of the boss, to approve it. It just doesn't ring true. And employees know this. They want to be recognized and they want to be heard for their hard work, not thrown, a token amount of money.
Evan, I hosted a sales award banquet a couple of nights ago for the team at Molson Coors. It was their Western Canadian Sales Awards. And I was talking to one of the organizers there, and he said sales awards are great for two reasons. He says, number one, you're able to get the team together and recognize the real achievers. He said, but what it does moving forward, and he said in the context of salespersons, he says they're incredibly competitive. And he says after the sales banquets and the sales awards, he says you've got a sales force that is motivated because they want to have their name mentioned and recognized in front of their peers next time around.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody wants to feel that they're part of the pack, that they're rolling with the winners, and that they are recognized. And sales awards banquets, some people feel that they're a little bit unfair because not everyone can be recognized. But I do agree there's a lot of motivation when you see, the person in the next cubicle being called up and patted on the back.
Evan, have you heard of examples? Is there one that really resonated with you or stuck with you of a company? It could be a company large or small that did something to foster a sense of teamwork or did something to contribute to that winning culture we hear so much about. Is there one case study that sticks with you?
Absolutely. It's a strategy I share with many of my clients. when management calls an employee meeting or town hall, surprise the employees by not talking about product, sales, pushing numbers. Make it about really them and invite them to share their successes and how great it feels for them as people, not just, you know, human capital or line items on a balance sheet, to really step up and do really great work. So there is a motivational message, but it's not a case of the management pushing it. The management wants to have a conversation. And the second part, what really makes this work, is when the CEOs roll up their sleeves, literally, chill out, and ask questions as peers, not bosses and managers who determine the fate of everyone in the room.
Hmm. Is it more important now than ever, Evan, for companies to foster or build that sense of loyalty on behalf, you know, from their employees? I mean, is the job market as competitive now as it's ever been?
The job market will always be a challenge to employers to find really good employees and to keep them. I think that's what keeps many managers awake at night, how to hang on to the really good talent. And in my experience, money and recognition equal employee loyalty and productivity.
What do you do, Evan, to motivate your employees? What do you do to keep your colleagues happy?
I thank them, and I share our wins. I don't keep successes to myself. Some managers do because they don't want their employees to get sort of a little lazy or complacent and think, well, we've got over this hump, now we can coast for a while. I encourage them to celebrate their wins, and I'm very, very collaborative and transparent. And I do recognize their efforts. I take time to thank them.
Mm. Trevor writes in on our text line. He says one of the best things an employer can do is listen to the suggestions of their employees. Evan, even the belief or the perception that your company is listening is a big one, isn't it?
It's absolutely essential, especially with younger workers who certainly are motivated by cash, but they also want to feel they have a voice. They want mentors. They want people to guide them, especially if they're very new in the workforce. They may be more experienced employees, but they still need to feel a sense of guidance, to feel that someone is really looking out for them to a degree.
Hmm. I love this. A listener out of Lashburn, Saskatchewan, this is Sean, says, I've worked places where fear was the motivator. There was such a high turnover. You can have that sense too, can't you, that your job could be up for grabs any moment?
Well, I'm chuckling because I haven't heard that one in a long time. Maybe back in the 50s, long before you and I were around.
Really?
That's the way the investment industry rolled. There were real threats of the results of not meeting sales targets, and it was sort of a feeling of fear, and that just causes huge screw ups, disloyalty, and a very, very sad business place, which is the last place anyone can thrive.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, I love this. Out of Fort McMurray, a listener says, the best motivation is knowing you made a difference for your company, that you made something better. The key is to speak with candor and manage with differentiation. Treat high performers better. That's a real balancing act, though, Evan, isn't it? Because you don't want to sort of create that disdain as well from those that are underperforming.
Exactly. That, you know, the high performers, you know, there may be, you know, they generate, you know, 80% of the sales, and they're 20% of high performers, but they are really important. This is where emotional intelligence, where people skills come in. You don't want to baby them. You don't want to fawn over them, make them feel like they're better than anyone else, but you have to really recognize the contribution that they make and encourage them to keep doing the great work and encourage them to mentor others on their team who maybe are hitting a few walls and aren't putting up the numbers yet.
We've got a really interesting point here, Evan. Before I thank you for your time, I want to close on this because Dalvin is making a good point, I think, and you wonder about, you know, the workforce of tomorrow, so to speak. The young kids now, Dalvin says, hang on a second. We're not supposed to promote competition in our schools because it makes some students feel inadequate. And now this expert, Evan Thompson, is saying that competition in the workplace makes it a healthier, happier place to work. What's going on? He does make a good point, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. The competitive piece, it's really how it's managed by management. There has to be a person, a boss, who brings these people together and gets them focused on a shared goal. Each has something to offer. We're moving in the same direction, and we do it in different ways. Have to get them pointed in the same direction, not make one feel lousy and the other feel even greater.
Yeah, no kidding. Evan, thanks for your insight on this. We've been looking forward to this conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Evan Thompson is the president of Evan Thompson & Associates. He's a business coach and a communications expert. Jillian says, yet CEOs get huge bonuses. I like this as well. Another says, out of Edmonton, you're telling me that workers are motivated by incentive? Well, that blows the socialism idea out of the water. No, doesn't it? Does everything have to come back to socialism in conversations in Alberta in 2017? Does everything have to come back to socialism? Really? I feel like putting Kirby on the spot. Kirby's in the control room chatting with Kelsey. Has there ever been anything in your professional career, doesn't even have to be you, you or a colleague, someone you've seen, where the company rewarded someone in a way that really resonated with you? Or has a company, has an employer at any point through your professional career, Kirby, has someone done something that made you go, you know what? My loyalty to this company just bumped up a notch because of that.
Professionally, no. I've never had a company change my opinion of them as a reporter, but I am still a human, so sometimes my personal side will look at them a little differently, but I don't let it affect how I would handle the story or reporting. I still would remain impartial on that.
Because it's kind of a tough question, isn't it? When you're in the business of reporting the news, I mean, it's not like a sales force that goes out and meets targets. I guess part of your goal would be to break the news, or what do you recognize? You might be recognized for holding off on a detail that wasn't confirmed that ultimately proved to not be true, or something along those lines. But maybe it's a little tough to talk about journalism. I actually thought it was interesting what Evan Thompson had to say, because he, you know, the listener writes in and says, I'm motivated by fear. Says my job environment is so competitive, I'm motivated by fear. Now, I don't fear a day in this chair on this show. However, I will acknowledge, Evan said, well, I haven't heard about that since the 50s, and that's not really the case. And I beg to differ, as a matter of fact. In this business, in media, If the ratings for this show go into the tank, you can start developing plan B, because it's only going to be a matter of time, right? It's not so much like that for reporters and journalists that, I mean, maybe there's the bigger picture of the broadcast, the integrity of the broadcast, but in my line of work, yeah. I don't like to use the word fear, because I'm not afraid of it. But there is that sense that if you underperform, you could be sent packing. Those are just the rules of the game. That's just the reality. That's what we signed up for. How does your employer motivate you? I'm curious to hear it. Text in to 630, 630.
The Ryan Jesperson Show. Weekday mornings at 9 on 630 CHED.